tonight to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. And I want us to start tonight by reading down through verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Before we do, I'm going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the privilege it is to be in a good old-fashioned house of God. I thank you, Lord, for these faithful believers that have gathered here tonight. And Lord, I do pray that you'd prepare hearts and that you would speak to hearts. Once again, we do pray, God, that you'd put your hand upon Pastor Townsend. Lord, this dear man of God, we thank you so much for him. And just pray, oh God, that you would work miraculously on his behalf. Lord, we know and believe that you're able. Please, Lord, we pray that you'd work there. And Lord, I pray as we come to this preaching hour tonight that you would work here in our hearts, in this place. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross tonight. And Lord, you know that I'm nothing. And so, God, I just pray, dear Lord, that you would work in and through me beyond my ability. Lord, hide me behind the cross. And please, may nothing but Jesus be seen in this pulpit this evening, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Starting in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, thy servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto this great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall they divide for an inheritance a land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You read down a little bit further, and he talks here in verse number 14. He says, your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in this land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, and he have given you also, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall ye return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. Now, I think that every time that I read through this text, my heart is stirred. Every time I read through this text, the Lord speaks to me in a In a different way. And there's some things from this text this morning I really want us to, this evening, I want us just to consider for a moment. I want you to stop and consider for just a second how all these people were feeling as they got ready to go in and possess the promised land. Think about that for just a minute. I mean, all the anxieties, all the concerns, all the worries that must have been going through Joshua's mind as he's peering into the promised land and he's wondering what's God about ready to do next. Wondering what exactly is going to happen as they cross over Jordan, right? Listen, folks, there's not a person in the building tonight that does not have some sort of concern or worry concerning what the Lord has in store for you in the future. Oftentimes we peer ahead seeking to know and to understand just what it is that God has in store for us. And I'll tell you what, it's nerve-wracking to consider. You see, the reality of it is this. When looking ahead at the will of God in your life, there are many times that you just don't know, right? It's just a big question mark. You know, right now we're looking ahead to Africa. You know what, for us, it's a big question mark. I kind of feel like Abraham. You know, the Bible in Hebrews 11, what does it say? He went forth not knowing whither he went. He didn't even know what the land was he was going to. I've never been to Malawi. I just know that God wants us to go. People look at me probably and think I'm crazy, but I know what God wants, and so I'm going to go. But there's a big question mark there. There's so many unknowns that lie ahead of us. There's so many worries or anxieties that could take me over if I'm not careful. I mean, what comes to your mind when you think of Africa, right? Snakes. Who likes snakes? Not me. I'm from Maine, amen? Lions. I don't like lions. I don't like anything that can eat me, period, okay? And then there's a disease. I mean, we've got COVID here, but you know what? They've got tuberculosis and AIDS and hepatitis. Those are all epidemics there, and they've got a COVID epidemic. They've got crime like you wouldn't believe. All these things are things we're going to have to deal with. I look ahead at what God's got before us, and I think to myself, oh, no. If I focus on those things, it's a big problem for me. I can't. I've got to just trust God. You see, there are many times when you look ahead at what God's got for you and you just don't know. And what God's will is for our life is oftentimes, I said, it's a big question mark. You know, it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and I would go camping and my parents did this yearly. Every summer we'd go up to Canada, we'd go camping. You can't do that so easy now because everybody's going to have a passport and all that mess. But we would go up there, we'd go camping, and I'd have to go to the bathroom at night. And as I carried that flashlight, it was always nerve-wracking to me to be peering ahead into the darkness. Because you know what? I couldn't see any further than that beam of light. And in the mind of a little boy, just considering what was out there ahead in the unknown darkness, you know what? It was a worrisome thing. Of course, in a child's mind, there's always some sort of evil, sinister creature out there lurking in the darkness, right? Ready to get you when you least expect it. Now, praise the Lord, nothing ever got me, amen. But I can clearly remember as a little boy being very uneasy and have that uneasy feeling as I was looking out into the unknown darkness that was ahead of me. You know, folks, we're just children in the eyes of God too, aren't we? And our human nature is to worry and to be anxious about what we don't know and what we cannot see and what we cannot understand. But God gives us some good advice in Philippians 4:6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry about it, just give it to God. Amen. And in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him. Why? For He careth for you. You know what? He cares a whole lot more for you than you care for you. That word here in Philippians 4:6, careful. The word means anxious. Now you can mark that in your Bible. He's saying, hey, listen. Although you may not be able to see what the future holds, although you may not have a clear discernment about what God's doing in your life right now, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Just trust God. Amen. Cast it all on Him and bring it to the throne of grace and prayer. For He is in control and He knows what the future holds and He cares for you. I know and understand from experience that oftentimes what's just around the corner seems to be the scariest because you just don't know. I remember when we were in Ukraine, and maybe some of you who kept up to date with the prayer letters, maybe you remember when Daniel was very little. He's our fourth. He was after Sammy. He had an abscess on his leg, and we took him in. Of course, going to the hospital in Ukraine is a scary thing to begin with. I mean, the medical system there is so far behind what we have here in America. And he had an abscess on his leg. It was around New Year's Eve. And the thing had started bulging up. It started getting red all around. And it had gotten so bad that his whole leg turned red. I mean, it was literally, he touched the leg and it was hot to the touch. He literally had a temperature in his leg. He was probably borderline having blood infection. And we went into the hospital, and the doctor there, he told us, he said, listen, I'm going to take him from you, and I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to I'm going to drain that abscess and I'm going to medicate him. He said, but I'm going to take him from you and you can't be with him. You can't, you know, he's just going to be gone. And he said this to me. He said he could lose his leg or his life. I said, well, that's fine. I'm just going home. I'm going to just take him and I'm going to just go back to America. That's what I told the doctor. He said, well, you can do that if you want, but he may not make it to America. And then for a second of time, I had to decide, what am I going to do? I said, okay, God, I don't know what to do here, but he's in your hands. I gave the doctor my child. We left the hospital. Jessica said, don't you dare leave that boy at that hospital by himself. You husbands, think about that for a moment. I cried and prayed the whole 30-minute trip home. When I told Jessica, we cried and prayed some more. We had no idea what the future hold, what was, would hold for our family concerning that. I came home and I said, Lord, I love you, Jesus. And I love my son and I don't want to lose my son. But Lord, even if you take him, I'm going to love you and I'm going to live for you anyways because you are my God and you are worthy. And praise the Lord. I went back there the next morning and sure enough, he had come through it. He was fine. They had done the procedure they needed to. His leg was white again instead of red. The temperature was gone. Things were under control. I still don't like the fact that I had to leave him there. There were so many unknowns there. It was so scary. But God said, Eric, you've got to just trust me with this that I know best. Listen, folks, when we peer ahead at the future, oftentimes we can be just like that, no matter what the circumstances are. And God's wanting us just to trust him, to cast it on him and let him take care of it. And so tonight, as we consider some thoughts from the book of Joshua, as each of us peers ahead into the promised land of God's will for our life, and we're wondering and we're anxious maybe about what's in store, I want to share with you tonight some sure things that you can expect to be true as you press forward into the unseen regions of God's will for your life. Of course, each of these thoughts, each of these things are drawn from the story and the experience of how Joshua possessed the promised land. They're not in any given order, but I hope they'll help you tonight as we look to go on for God on the journey of faith that he has called each of us to as born-again believers. Notice, first of all, as we consider this, there's going to be difficulties that are going to have to be crossed. Look with me, if you would, at Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 8 to 17. It says, and thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Ammonites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet were of the priest were that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, and is beside Zeraton, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, and all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now think about this, folks. Before they could ever possess the promised land, they had to do what? They had to cross Jordan, right? Once again, this was not an easy task to safely get all the millions of Israelites across the river. I think they speculate there were some 2 million plus people that needed to get across Jordan. Not only were they cross the river, but from what I understand of this text, they crossed during the time of year when it was flooded. It was seemingly the worst possible timing for this to happen. 1 Chronicles 12:15, it says, "These are they that went over Jordan in the first month when it had overflown all its banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys." Now, crossing the river would have been hard enough, but crossing it during flood season would be extremely difficult. Yet God said, difficulty or no difficulty, you are to cross this Jordan. You know what? Oftentimes God has difficulties before the path that He's called us to trod. You know, it's hard for me to grasp a hold of the concept that God wanted me to step out by faith and do deputation right in the midst of a COVID pandemic, right? I mean, deputation's hard enough, let alone trying to do it in the midst of all this chaos that we've got going on. Yet God said, Eric, this is what I want you to do. He's not failed me yet. He's not going to fail me. And you know what? It'll be the same for you. Now, as we consider this, I don't know that I even need to say this, but I think this is the truth. Oftentimes, a path that God has us to take appears difficult or even impossible. And the reality is, we just can't see how God is going to get us through it or how God's going to work it all out. We can't see that. And listen, folks, if it was true for Joshua, it's going to be true for you too. As you press forward to the unseen regions of God's will for your life, it oftentimes involves difficulties that are going to have to be crossed. Now, the wonderful part about learning from this story is we see how God brought them through it. Amen? Oftentimes, we can't see how God will, but you know what? Praise the Lord, He does. And listen, as they got ready to cross that flooded Jordan, God caused the waters to stand up upon a heap, and they crossed on dry ground. Amen? Wow, right? Only God, right? Now, God had Joshua call everybody around. And He said, hey, listen, you have everybody watching because I want everybody to see what I'm getting ready to do. And as the priest with the Ark of the Covenant, as they stepped into the river, the waters miraculously stood up on a heap and they crossed on dry ground. Now, I'm sure they were all thinking, how in the world are we going to make it through all this flooded Jordan and get all our kids and all our donkeys and all our goats and all our sheep and all our stuff safely to the other side? And God says, okay, you just watch. You just watch. And they crossed on dry ground without one hitch, right? Do you understand what I'm saying here tonight? They didn't even get one drop of water on them, amen? They easily passed over on dry ground. You see, folks, sometimes our difficulties are not difficult for the Almighty. He says, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? Is anything too hard for thee? And we know the answer is no. And He can take that which we view as awful or difficult circumstances, and He can reveal His almighty power and glory in our lives in a very real and miraculous way. And I don't know about you, but I want to see that in my life. In fact, I don't want to miss any of God's miracles for my life. I want to see every miraculous, wonderful thing that He has for me. I want to see it take place in my life. I don't want to miss it. I want to see it. If the Israelites said, no, God, you can't. We can't trust you any further. It's just too difficult now. Boy, they would have missed out on the miracle of seeing the water stand up on a heap. They would have missed out on the miracle of crossing Jordan on dry ground. So listen, folks, not only are there difficulties to be seen, But quite frequently, as we head into those unseen regions of God's will for our life, let me tell you, there are miracles to be seen as well. You see, God loves the difficult places. We don't. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't love difficult places. I did not love it when I had to drop my son off at a hospital in Kharkiv, Ukraine. I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't choose it. We don't like those things. But God loves difficult places. He likes the impossibilities that we see in our life. You know, when I surrendered to preach, I said, God, it's an impossibility. You don't want this man to be a preacher. I can't preach, God. I can barely give a 3-minute speech. You know, when somebody new comes around, I hide behind my mama's leg. I can't talk to people about Jesus, let alone get behind a pulpit and preach for 30 minutes. I'm an impossibility, God. And God said, I want you. I said, okay, God, finally I surrendered. If you want me, I'll surrender, even though I don't think I can do it. And I've learned, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's not about you, it's all about him. And you see, he loves the difficult places and the impossibilities that we see in our life, because he knows that when we are at our wits' end and we don't know what to do or how to do it, and we don't believe that we can do anything in our own power and we can't see any way forward, he is still able, amen. And he reveals himself to us and he makes his path for us through the wilderness. I can tell you tonight that more often than not, when God has brought me to a place where I must cross difficulties and I can't see how he's going to make a way. Honestly, when we got ready to surrender to deputation to do this, I didn't know what God was going to do. I was thinking to myself, man, how in the world is God going to get us to Africa in the midst of a COVID pandemic? And Africa of all places. We're already at 29%. It's only been a couple months. That's only God. You see, folks, more often than not, when God's brought me to that place where I have to cross difficulties and I can't see how, he makes a way. And so you can count on it, folks. There's going to be difficulties that have to be crossed, and there are going to be miracles that will be seen as we follow the Lord into the unseen regions of his will for our life. But I want you to notice also tonight, as we consider this thought of peering ahead in the promised land, that there's also blessings to be won. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse 7 to 10. It says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Listen, folks, the will of God for our lives is a good land. It's a land of beauty, it's a land of bounty, it's a land of blessings. And although there are great difficulties at times for us to cross, there are also great miracles to be seen as we follow his plan for our lives. That which God has in store for us is good. Amen. Doesn't mean good except if it involves Africa, right? No, it's always good. Although we don't always like it and we don't always understand at the time, God's will for our life is a good land. Romans 8:28, it's still in the book, right? And we know that what? All things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, it is the all things for good in the life of the believer. Not some things, not a few things, not just what we view as good, but he works all things together for good in our lives. And so as we peer into the unseen regions of God's will for our life, let us remember that come what may, it is a good land. And all things are for good in our lives as a believer. I like what God used the prophet Jeremiah to write in Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Listen, folks, although it doesn't always make sense to us, oftentimes it doesn't, although we can't always put all the pieces together at the time, the plan and will of God for your life is good. He has a good land for you and for me as His children. A land of beauty, a land of bounty, a land of blessing. A fruitful land. May we never cease to remember that His way is perfect and His will is good, even when you and I don't understand. Because you know what? There's a lot of times we don't understand, right? You know, when I'm in the midst of a storm, I can't see very far, can I? I can't see past the rain and the clouds and the wind, right? But God sees the storm from the other side. And you know what? The sun's still shining above that storm, too. Just remember, God works all things together for good in our lives for His purposes. And so, as we peer ahead into the promised land, seeking to do the will of God for our lives, we've seen tonight that as we look ahead at this, there's going to be some difficulties that are going to have to be crossed. We also see that there are going to be blessings to be won. And I want you to notice thirdly tonight that there are still going to be trials to encounter and adversaries to be fought. You know, when they crossed over that Jericho, it wasn't long after they crossed it and they saw God perform this great, tremendous miracle, that now they are preparing for battle at Jericho, at this impossible city with great fortified walls. And all sides they are surrounded by enemies and adversaries that would love to destroy them and devour them. And here they stand at God's bidding, looking up at these seemingly undestroyable walls with enemies seemingly on all sides. I wonder tonight, Christian, have you been there? Hasn't there been times in your life when you're seeking to follow God's will for your life and do what the Lord wants, but then you come upon these great and seemingly impossible trials, and you are surrounded by adversaries and surrounded by problems, and all you can do is look up at this huge, undestroyable wall of problems and adversaries that you face and say, "I don't understand, God. What are you doing here, God? What is next for us, God? And how in the world, God, can we overcome this?" Might we never forget that it is not about the man, but about the God of the man. Jerichos will come and go in our lives. Might we never forget there's nothing too hard for Thee. One of my favorite verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I already shared it with you tonight. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." You see, there's much in this life that you cannot do in your own power, that you cannot handle in your own ability. But as believers, this is our comfort, that no matter what trials we encounter, no matter how great the adversaries or how difficult the situation is, my God is able to deliver me and to do what He wants in my life and accomplish His will. He is always able, all the time. And so as we peer ahead into the unseen regions of God's will for our lives, we've got to realize that, yes, there's some difficulties that will be ahead. There's going to be some adversaries. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some trials to encounter. But let us remember that God has given us this good land, and He will work all things together for good. And He is able to overcome all the obstacles that I face in my life. I can testify to you tonight. I've seen it time and time again. I've come up upon many obstacles in my life. And over again, I've seen that God's got us through it. Amen. As Paul writes in Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Well, I like that, don't you? Praise the Lord, I am more than a conqueror over all these difficulties and trials and problems that I face through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Never forget, as the waves rise high in your life, may you steady your eye on Jesus Christ, the lover of your soul, for there is always victory in Jesus. We're on the winning side, folks. Nothing in this world can change that. We are still on the winning side. Amen. I want you to notice tonight, lastly, I got just a few more things. I think I didn't got enough time here. I want us to notice that the Lord will be with us through it all. Look with me, if you would, at Joshua 1:5. It says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee as all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." I like that, don't you? I will not fail thee. I will be with thee. I will not forsake thee. So listen, folks. We've got a God that goes with us every step of the way. Isn't that wonderful? "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth," right? The Lord Himself says, "I'm not such a captain that I would forsake my soldiers and my troops in battle. I will not fail you. I'll not forsake you. I'll be with you." He says in verse 9, He says, "I will be with you whithersoever thou goest." That's what it says in verse 9. So don't get discouraged, don't get dismayed when the battles in the promised land seem too much for you to bear, friend. Just call on the Lord, cast your cares on Him. For if God be for us, who can be against us? And it's a wonderful help and a blessing to just remember He is with us and He is on our side and He will not fail. The Bible talks about it in Psalms 23, "I'll fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me," right? That's the testimony of our good shepherd. "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." And so notice, listen, folks, we've got the Lord by our side every step of the way. And so I want you to notice, lastly, as we consider stepping into the unknown regions of God's will for our lives, we've noticed tonight that as we face these things, that first of all, there are going to be difficulties to be crossed. There are going to be blessings to be won. We notice also there are trials to encounter and adversaries to be fought. We notice that the Lord will be with us through it all. And lastly, I notice here that we have a victory that is already won. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Notice what he says in verse 5 and 6. First of all, he says, "No man can stand before you." And then he says in verse 6, "Unto this people shalt thou divide the land." You see, although Joshua was heading into the unseen and he was unsure about how God was going to work all these things out, God, who knows all, says, "Listen, Joshua, the battle's already won. The victory is already yours. You will divide and inherit this promised land." You see, Christian, sometimes the way may look dark to us. The future may be unsure. But this I know and can be confident in. I'm on the winning side. Victory is mine. I will not lose and I cannot be defeated. For Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer." Why? "For I have overcome the world." As it says in 1 John 5:4-5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And when he cried from the cross, he cried, "It is finished." That was a cry of victory for us. Praise the Lord. Victory is ours. So listen tonight, Christians, as you peer ahead into the unseen regions of God's will for our life, I know it can be scary because I've been there. It's a fearful thing at times. But let us remember, there are going to be difficulties to be crossed, but there's also miracles to be seen. There are blessings to be won along the way as we follow Him by faith. There will be trials to be encountered and adversaries to be fought on this journey of faith. There will be your Lord and Captain with you through it all. And lastly, praise God, we are not fighting a losing battle. We have already won. The victory was won at Calvary. Oh, may God help us. Sometimes we can get so overwhelmed with the things that we face in life. We look ahead and things seem so scary. I'll tell you honestly, for myself, when God first started dealing with us about going to Africa, it was a scary thing. I had to wrestle with God over that for a little while because, you know what, to me, the most precious thing in my life is, it's not money. It's not my stuff. It's really not any earthly possession I have. It's my wife and my children. I would never, ever want anything to happen to them. And going to Africa, to me, you know what? That's one of the most dangerous places in the world that you could go. With all the animals and the snakes and the disease and the crime and all this awful stuff. And when God set this before me saying, Eric, I want you to do this, I had to be willing to just let go and say, okay, God, I love you. I can't figure this all out. I'm scared almost looking into the future, what's ahead of us, but I'm going to be willing to just trust you and follow your will and your plan for my life. But I challenge you with that tonight, Christians. Sometimes that what the future holds may be scary, but may I encourage you to just press on by faith, casting your cares on Him and trusting in Him and following His will for your life no matter the cost. Oh, may God help us to be of those faithful men and women like Joshua and Caleb that just go forth by faith, even though we can't see it all, trusting God as we possess our promised lands. Brother, if you'd come and you close us now, please, as you see fit.